Are you trying to squeeze the starting solid food stuff into your already busy schedule? Well, I have an all-in-one, done-for-you solution that's going to take the guesswork out of feeding your baby. My online program is called Baby-Led Weaning with Katie Ferraro. It contains all of my baby-led weaning training videos, the original 100 First Foods content library, plus a 100-day meal plan with recipes, like the exact sequence of which foods to feed in which order. So if you want to stop trying to piece all this feeding stuff together on your own, I would be honored if you would join me inside of the program. You can get signed up at babyledweaning.co/program.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sometimes we're our worst critics as moms, and statements like that, like your milk isn't good enough, or I've heard like you're starving your baby, or there's not enough fat content in your milk, really just destroys her confidence and can really sabotage a mom's experience. And we know that stress can affect your milk supply. It doesn't allow you to relax and allow those hormones to just do their part and relax and allow that milk to flow very easily.
Hey there, I'm Katie Ferraro, registered dietitian, college nutrition professor, and mom of seven, specializing in baby-led weaning. Here on the Baby-Led Weaning with Katie Ferraro podcast, I help you strip out all of the noise and nonsense about feeding, giving you the confidence and knowledge you need to give your baby a safe start to solid foods using baby-led weaning.
How often should you breastfeed once your baby starts solid foods? And what happens if your milk supply starts to drop off once that baby starts eating? I remember one of our virtual assistants calling me on the phone the night before her baby started solid food, and she was distraught because she thought it was going to be her last breastfeeding session with her baby. And of course, it wasn't, because you can continue breastfeeding or bottle feeding after you start solid foods. You have to, because that infant milk, that's still your baby's primary source of nutrition for a lot of weeks to come. But in that moment, my heart was just breaking for this mom, because I saw how confusing this intersection of breastfeeding and starting solid foods has become. There are so many mixed messages and so much erroneous advice about extending breastfeeding into the second half of infancy and even the second year of life. Yes, almost all major health bodies recommend exclusive breastfeeding for the first 6 months of life, but we're not doing a very good job educating moms about the benefits of extending breastfeeding beyond that. So my guest today is on a mission to help moms continue breastfeeding into the second half of infancy and beyond. Her name is Jessica Smith. She's a registered nurse with a master's degree in nursing, and she has her IBCLC certificate. That's the International Board Certified Lactation Consultant. And she works in private practice for Blue Ridge Lactation in Virginia. So I met Jessica last year. We did an Instagram Live together about a donor milk drive that she was working on with Laura Vu. So Laura Vu is the founder of Mila's Keeper, which is a breast milk storage container system that keeps pump milk cold and safe for up to 24 hours. And Laura was on our podcast back in episode 404 if you want to go back and learn more about storing pumped breast milk safely. But she also introduced me to Jessica, RN IBCLC, who I'm interviewing today. And we were chatting about, you know, some of the biggest challenges that face breastfeeding moms when they start solid foods, and this whole idea of, you know, wanting to protect your milk supply, and then how do you deal with the fact that your milk supply is starting to drop off? So I wanted to have Jessica on the podcast to explain a little bit about that topic and to talk about when your milk supply will drop off as your baby becomes more proficient in self-feeding solid food. We're going to talk a little bit about schedules too, especially around the 8-month mark when it comes to dropping that milk feed. We're both kind of on the same page, although we have slightly differing views about which milk feed to drop first. So be sure to listen to the end to catch that. And I want to preface this conversation saying that infant milk, be that breast milk or formula, should be the sole source of nutrition from 0 to 6 months of age. And it gradually becomes a lesser important component of your baby's diet from 6 to 12 months of age as they get better at learning to get nutrition from food. So during that weaning period, which is 6 to 12 months, your baby is gradually going to be learning how to get more nutrition from food and less from infant milk, such that by 12 months of age, most of your baby's nutrition can be coming from food with just a bit of it from milk. So Jessica's going to talk about extending that breastfeeding beyond 12 months if you want to do that, and then answering some other common questions about breastfeeding alongside starting solid food. So if you're currently navigating this whole like messy middle where your baby like still isn't getting much nutrition from food yet and relying on infant milk, be sure to hit subscribe and follow this podcast so that both new episodes that I release every week will show up in your feed. I do a mini baby-led weaning training episode every Monday, and a longer feeding expert interview each Thursday. So please do subscribe. And if you have a mom friend who's also starting solid foods, please also tell her about this podcast, Baby Led Weaning with Katie Ferraro too, as your word of mouth recommendations are so important to the growth and success of this show. So with no further ado, I want to bring on Jessica Smith, who will be teaching about breastfeeding and starting solid foods and chatting a bit about what to do when your milk supply starts to drop off.
One mom, she felt a lot of pressure because she breastfed her little one for 3 years. So she felt a lot of the pressures of, you know, people telling her, you really need to stop. You need to feed your baby solids at 6 months and babies should be weaning before, you know, by 1 year. There was a lot of that. You know, I have a lot of clients who are feeding their babies past a year mark. And I think there's just not enough information out there about how to do that and that it is okay to do that for the many benefits for mom and baby.
And I love that. It's so much work at the beginning, but then once you get into it, it's like, I don't want to quit. So Jessica, can you tell us a little bit about the type of work that you do as an IBCLC and as a nurse? What made you want to get into breastfeeding support? And then what sort of clients do you see and what challenges are they facing?
I started out as a mother baby nurse. I worked at our local hospital for about 15 years. And during that time, I had my son and I was clueless about breastfeeding. We didn't have lactation consultants in the hospital. And the education that we had, you know, I felt like I was good and didn't really need to do any classes or anything specific. So we ended up struggling. And we had everything from poor milk supply, poor latch, poor ducts, mastitis, thrush, all of it, you name it, we had it. And so once our hospital became baby friendly certified, that brought in lactation consultants. And as I was working, I saw what the lactation consultants did with these moms and how they just, you know, took them under their wing and shared how to latch a baby and shared the benefits of breast milk and feeding. And then I realized that's what I want to do. I love that. I love to nurture them in that such a vulnerable time when there's so much fear, because I saw myself in those patients. And I said, you know, I want to pay it forward. I want to do what I didn't have that education. I didn't have that knowledge. And I want to help if I can help remove a little bit of their fear. I want to do that. And so I got my mentor, I asked her what I needed to do, and I left bedside nursing and went on to become certified as an IBCLC in 2013. So that is kind of how I got into that. And then I did that bedside nursing for a lactation consultant for 10 years. And then I decided to open my private practice. So I opened that just shy of 2 years ago, which has been just amazing and wonderful. I miss my coworkers at the hospital, but I learned so much from them. And then I've just gone on to kind of spread my wings and do private practice where I felt like I could just be more hands-on and spend the time that I really wanted to, which I felt like I couldn't do, obviously, in the hospital because you have so many patients to see.
And I think it's so wonderful that you were able to translate the knowledge and experience that you had from your bedside nursing and hospital years and kind of bring that into the home, which is really where the struggles start. Like, your breastfeeding struggles don't start in the hospital. They literally kick you out before it gets bad. So I wanted to ask you, because the first half of infancy, 0 to 6 months, breast milk is sufficient to meet most babies' nutrition needs. And we know that there are absolutely no benefits to starting solid foods early, but parents get pressure from lots of places, like their doctor or other family members, and you got to start solid foods early. So sometimes we hear that in the form of statements, things like, oh, that baby is hungry, or your breast milk isn't enough. And I was wondering, Jessica, if you could shed some light on why statements like that are damaging and harmful to breastfeeding success if they're foisted on moms of babies who are not yet 6 months of age and also are not showing the reliable signs of readiness to eat.
Right. Well, it's really harmful, especially during such a vulnerable stage in a mom's, you know, in that fourth trimester when there's so many physiological, emotional changes and you already feel like you're not doing enough for your baby. I think sometimes we're our worst critics as moms, and statements like that, like your milk isn't good enough, or I've heard like you're starving your baby, or there's not enough fat content in your milk, really just destroys her confidence and can really sabotage a mom's experience. And we know that stress can affect your milk supply. It doesn't allow you to relax and allow those hormones to just do their part and relax and allow that milk to flow very easily. So it's really is detrimental. And then we come from, you know, a formula-fed generation. So in the 50s, when more women went into the workforce, there was more formula-fed babies. And not to say there's nothing wrong with formula feeding at all, just saying that for moms who chose to breastfeed, there seems to be a lack of support because we're coming in from a generation where our parents, my mom, formula-fed all three of us girls. And so there's just that lack of knowledge. You know, these grandparents are you know, trying to support their children and encourage them. But then when they see babies acting hungry, or in their opinion is acting hungry and maybe not getting enough, they're just saying, well, you were fine. You formula fed and everything's good, which is perfectly fine. But for a mom who's trying to breastfeed, that can really sabotage her and help her lose her confidence. So definitely is a big issue. And I think just educating, I encourage them to take prenatal breastfeeding classes and so they can learn what to expect and empower them.
And I think we also come out of an era where we're focusing so much on getting through the birth that like we forget that all the stuff that happens after that is actually the really hard part. Like the birth is hard, but then it's the raising the baby and all the other feeding stuff. And you mentioned the comments that people say like, oh, you were formula fed and you turned out fine. We hear that a lot in the baby-led weaning space. Oh, you know, parents saying, my mom tells me like, oh, I spoon-fed you and you turned out fine. So there are some certainly some similarities there in surrounding yourself with people who are like-minded and positive and certainly educated in that space because, you know, God bless your mom, but just because she fed you one time as a baby doesn't necessarily make her an expert. So,
right. And it really just, and you're hearing it, especially from your other moms and, you know, peer-to-peer and then your family.
And then if you're on social media, it's a million times worse.
It's so stressful. I really feel like if there was social media as evident as it was 14 years ago, I probably, and the support of my husband and my family, I would have quit. But when moms are taking their prenatal classes, and I used to teach them at the hospital, and they hear that their milk is a living fluid, it has stem cells, antibacterial properties, antifungal properties, all the essential vitamins and minerals, they feel empowered. They get excited. Like the surveys after classes, they're like, I didn't realize there were so many good components to breast milk. I knew it was good for baby and it decreases the risk of infection, but I had no idea. And it empowers them. You can see a difference and they get excited when they hear that. So then when they hear on the other end, your milk is not enough, it sends a mixed signal and they just are left confused. And what do I do? And how do I do this?
Hey, we're going to take a quick break, but I'll be right back.
And one thing that we really run into, and this is particularly problematic in the pediatrician population, is there still are to this day a lot of pediatricians at the 4-month appointment telling parents to get ready to start solid foods, namely purees and white rice cereal, at 4 months of age. And every major health body, the World Health Organization.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. If you've been thinking about giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's a convenient, flexible, affordable, and entirely online experience. All you do is just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can also switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I used to think therapy was just for people who have experienced major trauma, but therapy can help you be at your best no matter what you're going through. So whether it's to learn new positive coping skills, set more realistic boundaries, or just show up as a better version of yourself, BetterHelp is here to help. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so that you can do more of it. If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can help you get there and BetterHelp can help you. Visit betterhelp.com/weaning today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/weaning and get 10% off your first month.
American Academy of Pediatrics, they recommend exclusive breastfeeding for the first 6 months of life. So as a breastfeeding advocate, I maintain that when doctors tell parents to start solid foods at 4 months of age, that is an anti-breastfeeding message. And if we could start framing it like that and not being ashamed to say that, like, yes, of course, starting solid foods when your baby is ready differs for all babies, but your baby is not sitting up on their own at 4 and 5 months of age, and they don't need anything except infant milk until 6 months of age. So stop confusing them and intimating that there's something wrong with your breast milk, if breast milk is sufficient to meet the needs for the first 6 months of life, then why are you telling me to start solid foods at 4 months? Again, I maintain it's an anti-breastfeeding message. Would you agree?
Right, absolutely. And it just sabotages their confidence. When pediatricians start recommending rice cereals and so forth at that 4 month appointment, it really sabotages them. And not only babies are not developmentally ready, they don't have the enzymes prepared to digest, you know, those rice cereals and solids at that age. It fills them up. They're not going to want to feed as often. And so that compromises mom's milk supply. Once her milk supply is compromised and she's not getting that stimulation, that supply and demand, you know, it just creates a domino effect.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about how breastfeeding schedules change after you start solid foods. I generally tell parents that really for the first 8 weeks or so after you start solid foods, which is at or around or beyond the 6-month mark, you really don't have to change your baby's nap or your infant milk feeding schedule because your baby's really eating so little solid food. And your baby needs a lot of time to learn how to eat, and breast milk is still so important. So are the moms that you work with, Jessica, do you think that they're getting this message, or do they still stress about, oh my gosh, I need to drop a milk feed, or I need my baby to be hungry? Like a baby I was working with the other day, the mom's a dietitian. She's like, oh, he's hungry. I brought him over hungry to start solid foods on day one. And I was like, dude, food's not going to do anything for them. They don't know how to use food to make hunger go away. Most of their nutrition is still coming from infant milk. So are they stressing about this idea to like, oh my gosh, I need to drop milk feeds right out of the gate when they start solid foods?
Yeah, they really do. And they don't know how to do it. So I think it causes so much confusion. And in the end, what I'm seeing is moms delaying the start of solid introduction in the 2 years that I've been in private practice and delaying it after 6 months because they're stressed and they're not sure how to do it and what the approach is. So yeah, the schedule seems to be really stressful for them and just the whole approach of not knowing how to do it.
Moms love a schedule and they've worked really hard to get their baby on that nap schedule and that breastfeeding or bottle schedule. And then when you start solid foods, you're like, oh, I have to mess everything up. But you really don't. You continue your same nap and milk schedule. You just got to find a time to do solid foods 1 to 2 times a day at the 6 and 7 month mark, acknowledging that they're not really going to eat that much, but practice makes progress.
Right, because it is really just exposing them to the different textures, different flavors, those allergens like you share on your podcast all the time, and just helping developmentally too, you know, to grab their foods and use those pincer grasps as they get older, you know, 8 to 9 months. So it really does help in so many ways. But yeah, they feel really overwhelmed in that pressure to start those solids. And then with that, then it's the whole sleep training and getting baby to sleep through the night, which is glorious. And that sounds wonderful, but it can certainly compromise mom's milk supply, which is a big deal because we still have 6 more months, you know.
Yep.
The Academy of Pediatrics and World Health recommends to continue breast milk feeds for 12 months. And so when you start doing those things and then mom's supply drops, then there's that battle of how do I keep my supply up? And how do I introduce solids? And do I do purees or do I do baby-led weaning? And they're worried about the choking. And so there's just so many, you know, fears.
And I wanted to ask you about this idea of milk supply, because I feel like moms today are conditioned in many ways to talk about, quote unquote, protecting their milk supply. And then they'll do anything and everything to increase milk production, especially in those crucial and really frustrating early days of breastfeeding. But once your baby starts getting proficient at self-feeding solid foods, it's only natural to expect that your human milk supply is going to dip, right? That is what weaning is. That's weaning in action. How do you counsel moms, Jessica, who are concerned about declining milk supply after the baby starts solid foods? And then what advice do you provide to them?
Well, that's the beauty of natural weaning process. Like you said, that's weaning in action. As moms have less stimulation, the body's going to make less milk. It's really a supply and demand. So the more the breasts are stimulated, the hormones are stimulated through baby latching on and breastfeeding or through pumping, the more milk is made. So as there's a decrease in that, there's a decrease in those hormones, oxytocin and prolactin, which are going to decrease milk supply. There's also a protein in the breasts that's called FIL, or feedback inhibitor of lactation. And so when the breasts stay fuller, because babies are not eating as often, then their milk supply will naturally start dropping. And so it really is that balance.
But do you tell them like, that's normal, that's okay, because they freak out. Like, why am I making less milk? Like the baby's getting bigger at 8 and 9 and 10 months of age. Shouldn't I be making more and more milk? And you have to like literally graph it out and show them, no, as your baby gets better at eating, the weaning process is about gradually getting more nutrition from food and less nutrition from milk. And so how do they react to that message? Like, this is normal.
Oh, I think they feel a sense of relief and understanding. Like once they understand that that's normal, then there's not that stress that your body's going to make what it needs to feed your baby according to the demands. And as long as baby's gaining weight, as long as they're on the growth chart, you know, the way they're supposed to be and growing adequately, and as long as they have their appropriate wet and dirty diapers and mom's supply feels good and she's not having any issues with plugged ducts, then that's wonderful. And that's exactly what she needs to do. But yeah, there is so much concern about how to do that, when to do it. So I just encourage them to continue feeding on demand, trying to offer breast feeds before the solids early on in this first 6 to 8 months. Yeah, 6 to 8 months. And then offering the solids after, just offering them nutrient-rich foods and trying to avoid overfeeding them. Because I had one client, when I asked, she said she realized she was overfeeding her baby. So she was still giving her baby like 6 breastfeeds and was doing the three solids a day, and baby was just chunking up, and this baby just really liked solids and took off. So baby was taking like three full solid meals plus still nursing six times a day. And she realized, I don't know what I'm doing, and this seems too much. And
it's a lot of work.
Really, really big, and it's a lot of work.
And sometimes it is nice. It's a relief to hear, like, oh my gosh, I don't have to do it that much. And we generally recommend the same thing, that in phase one of baby-led weaning, the first eight-ish weeks when your baby starts solid foods, don't mess with your nap and your milk schedule. Find a way to make the solid foods fit in there. But around the eight-month mark, when everything kind of clicks for your baby and they start getting better at feeding themselves, that's when you're going to want to drop that first milk feed. So we do have a podcast episode all about how to drop a milk feed, and I'll link to that in the description where you're watching this. And we also have another episode about how to move milk behind meals, because that's something that's important to start doing around the eight-month mark too, that we're deprioritizing infant milk. Nobody's denigrating infant milk. Nobody's saying there's anything wrong with it, but it is no longer sufficient to meet your baby's needs once they start eating more food. And I think that sometimes is the message where, like, dietitians and breastfeeding people, sometimes they kind of butt heads. It's like the breastfeeding support people, like, breast milk is the best. Like, yes, it is the best, but we have to acknowledge that by 12 months of age, most of baby's nutrition can be coming from food. And I wanted to ask you about this idea of the moms who want to breastfeed beyond the 1 year mark. Cause I think, like, as a healthcare provider, the AAP, World Health Organization, they're doing a good job, like, recommending exclusive breastfeeding until 6 months of age. Not that anyone's listening, but after the 6 month mark, it gets kind of hazy, right? Like, moms don't know how much they should nurse versus offering solid foods. And they worry that they're doing breastfeeding and they're doing it wrong. And then they're like, wait, do I have to stop at 12 months of age? So what's the advice you give to parents after the 12 month mark?
I encourage them of the benefits. The benefits are still there. So they're still getting all those immunological properties. They're still getting all the many of the nutritional properties. There was a study out, I can't remember the publisher, but this kind of talked about the benefits after 12 months of age, between 12 and 23 months of age. And it said that in 15 ounces of breast milk, it provides 29% energy, the energy requirements that a toddler needs, 43% of their protein requirements, 36% of their calcium, 75% of their vitamin E, 76% of their folate, 94% of their B12, and 60% of their C requirements, which I thought was really impressive. So not only are there still so many nutritional benefits, there's also the hormone benefits. There's also the enzymes, all the antibacterial properties, all the great components of breast milk that are beneficial to little ones. And especially as they start going into like daycares and being exposed to lots of germs, they still are getting all the great antibodies that are going to protect their toddler from a lot of the infections that are going around.
And I love the story that you told at the outset of the interview about the mom who was breastfeeding her baby to the 3 year mark. I was a Peace Corps volunteer in Nepal for about 2.5 years after college, and it was not uncommon to see 2 and 3 year old toddlers being breastfed. And I also teach college nutrition, and like, you tell a US college student about 2 and 3 year olds breastfeeding and they look at you like you're literally crazy. So for families who are formula feeding, they're going to want to transition to whole cow's milk at 12 months, which we kind of covered that extensively on this podcast. But for the breastfeeding moms, the ones that want to go past the 1 year mark, you've shared some of the benefits, like from a physiological standpoint, but how do you counsel and advise them when, like, I feel like all other signs in our society point to, like, just stop at 1. If you made it to 12 months, you've made it like twice as far as most people even ever make it.
Yeah. So not only do I encourage them about the like nutritional benefits, but I just go over the signs to be looking for when babies are ready to wean. And if you're not seeing those signs, then just keep going. And they're not feeding, you know, 6-8 times a day. So a lot of, you know, at this age, it's, you know, in the morning or at night, or in the morning, midday, and at night. And so the stressors aren't there like it was on a demanding schedule for a mom who's introducing solids and feeding 6 times a day. So I just kind of go over the signs that baby's ready to wean. And so when they are familiar with that, it empowers them to like, okay, so baby's still not showing me those signs, or my toddler's not showing me those signs. I think we can keep going. And it's really that balance of what mom and their little one are ready to do. So oftentimes babies will just seem disinterested or fussier at the breast, or they're having shorter feeds, or just really, really distracted feeding, or they're playing with the breast or playing with the nipple, or just start biting down. A lot of babies just will nurse for comfort, which is also very beneficial. And there's a scary situation, or they're frightened, or they're ill. So they're still getting those benefits during that time too. So just encourage them. And then I talked to them about how to drop milk feeds and just dropping them slowly. Dropping them slowly will help protect them from having any plugged ducts and developing mastitis. Will also help naturally drop their hormone levels slowly, which can help their mental state as well.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break, but I'll be right back.
Thank you. Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now, when you talk about dropping a milk feed slowly, is there, obviously everyone's schedule is different, but do you prefer one milk feed over the other? Like, do you say generally, hey, drop that morning feed and start the day just with a solid food meal? Or is it kind of a unique situation for each family and what works for one family might not work for the other?
Yeah, I think a lot of people do tend to drop the morning feed or the middle of the day, especially if they have other children and they're going to be out and about during, especially as they drop those naps. Sometimes that middle of the day feeding tends to be a little bit easier. So it just depends on everybody's schedule. But usually the morning feed or the middle of the day feed tends to be the easiest one for them to drop.
And you mentioned some of the signs of baby being ready to wean, especially in the toddler years, obviously less interest. So there'd be maybe less frequency of nursing. But what are some of the other signs that parents should look for to determine whether or not their toddler is really ready to wean off of the breast?
A lot of times you'll just see babies just show disinterest. They like during when they would normally feed their toddler at, you know, the middle of the day, they just kind of decide they want to go read a book and they want to go do something else. So that's that gentle weaning, which is really beneficial also for mom, because it's a hard thing to wean your baby, especially or your toddler, especially when you go to that point after a year old. I went to 2 years and it was really hard and I had tears.
Oh, there's such an emotional component too. I kind of have goosebumps. I have like some trauma even thinking about it. Even to this day, like I traveled a lot. I had a singleton, then I had a set of quadruplets. And when my quadruplets were two, we had a set of twins. But by then I was working a lot in infant feeding and baby-led weaning. And we traveled a lot with the twins. And I had to pump everywhere. And to this day, when I go to an airport, I like as a default look for an outlet because I had an extension cord in my pump bag that I would plug into the, you know, by the sink and then run it underneath into the stall and like sit on a bathroom stall and pump. Like now I think about it. It was before like all of those, you know, like the pump friendly bathrooms. And again, if you travel in small airports, like they don't have those amenities. And so I like still look for the outlet because I'm like secretly like, oh my gosh, do I need to pump? So, and my youngest just turned six. So like, I don't know when that's going to go away. But for our audience, Jessica, who want to seek help from an IBCLC, where should they go to learn more about getting lactation education?
I always encourage to go to a resource that's evidence-based. So, you know, there's lots out there. KellyMom.com is a great resource, lactation education resource. So that's a really good one. IBLE, which is the Institute of Advancement of Breastfeeding Education, is really great support too. So those are good ones. And then always like to point them to like medications and good sites for knowing how to know when a medication is safe. Always tell them to check with their provider. But Infant Risk has a Mommy Meds app, which is really good. And then TrashThePumpAndDump.com is really good. So I like to refer them to those websites.
Thank you so much for sharing all of this with us. It was a wonderful conversation. I appreciate it. And where can our listeners go if they want to learn more about you and your work? I know you're in the Virginia area, but you're looking to do more online work. How can listeners get connected with you, Jessica?
So I'm contracted with the Lactation Network, so they can go through the Lactation Network or specifically through my website, which has a link that is linked to me through the Lactation Network, which is contracted with a lot of insurances. So for many moms, either virtually or in person, it's 100% covered. So they can go to blueridgelactation.wixsite.com/IBCLC, and that would bring them to my site.
And I'll put that in the description as well. Jessica, thank you so much for the conversation. I really appreciated it.
Oh, sure. You're welcome. It was great to chat with you.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Jessica Smith about breastfeeding and starting solid foods and how to handle when your milk supply drops off. I will put all of the resources that Jessica mentioned in the show notes for this episode, which you can find at blwpodcast.com/424. After the interview, we were talking a little bit about some of these meds and supplements. She said that the med that I was probably getting from Tijuana was domperidone. And that's definitely it, because I remember it sounding like Dom Perignon. And at first I was like, dude, what are these doctors talking about? But she said she doesn't want to talk about off-label use of medications. And I totally get that. So we'll talk about supplements and I'll have Jessica back on. Again, the show notes page for this episode is blwpodcast.com/424. A special thank you to our partners at Airwave Media. If you like podcasts that feature food and science and using your brain, check out some of the other shows from Airwave Media. Thank you so much for listening. We're online at blwpodcast.com. I'll see you next time. Bye now.
you find it hard to sleep at night? Then the Calm Cove podcast can help you sleep deeply all night long. Calm Cove has deeply relaxing meditation music and ambient sounds, like ocean waves and crackling fires. All of our episodes are designed to help you relax and to fall asleep fast. Calm Cove is brought to you by the team behind Sleep Cove, the sleep podcast that consists of spoken word hypnosis, meditation, and stories. So if you want to listen to a beautiful soundscape tonight, search for Calm Cove on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and see how we're helping millions of people relax and go to sleep every night.